Thank you. This morning's shiur is actually dedicated to Ilui Nishmas, Macha Bas Menachem Manis, and Chinka Bas Alexander Mordechai. Rare case I actually know one of the people. Neshama should have an aliyah. Traditionally, I remember when I was a student in yeshiva, that traditionally in Pashas Chayei Sara, Rabbi Willig always gave a shmooze about dating and marriage. This goes back many years. I remember it well. It was, we heard it year in, year out, the importance about meeting women at a well. I don't remember it exactly. It was something like that. The importance of what to look for in dating, etc. Always Chayei Sara was the parsha of the week that we would focus on dating. That was the tradition. This year, Rabbi Willig's in Israel this weekend. So I don't know if he gave it or not. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the hishtadlus, the importance of dating, and is it important at all? After all, we bandy about the word bashert, which is Yiddish for chosen, that every woman has a young man, every young man has a young woman, who it's bashert, it is chosen back from the times of years beforehand, that's going to be who you marry. So the question is, why bother? Why spend all the time and all the money getting ready, etc., for dating, if everything is predetermined? I start with the Gemara. It's in the source sheet number 1 in Moed Katan. The Gemara in Moed Katan tells us that on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to get married because there's a concept of Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha. You can't put one Simcha on top of another Simcha. Therefore, since there already is the Simcha of Chol HaMoed, to have a Chasana, to have a wedding on top of that would be inappropriate. It would be a violation of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So you're not allowed to get married, even though you might think it's a good time. The boys all from yeshiva anyhow, everybody's getting together. Might be convenient to get married on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to do that. What about getting engaged, the Gemara says? So the Gemara says, that's different. You're allowed to get engaged on Chol HaMoed. Aye, engagement's also a Simcha. So take a look. The Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Mutar Aris Isha B'Cholo Shel Moed Shemi Yekad Menu Acher. You're allowed to get engaged on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because if you snooze, you lose. In the event that you don't get engaged to this girl, someone else will get engaged to her. Now, what's the implication of that? The implication is that it's not a done deal that if this is the girl for me, she's going to marry me. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Can you really say that that's a possibility? Don't we know that a heavenly voice comes down and determines that this person is supposed to marry that person? So how can you tell me, if it's determined I'm supposed to marry this person, how can you tell me that in fact I have to be concerned if I don't get engaged now, someone else is going to step in? No, there is a possibility, the Gemara says, that someone else will daven, and that will change the gezerah. Yes, I was supposed to marry this girl, but that person goes to shul, they daven, all of a sudden, I lost her. Ki hadu rava shami ahu gavad de boy rachmi v'omer tizdam li ponisa. So the Gemara now has an amazing story. Rava says, he walks in shul, and there's a guy who's davening, I want to marry this girl, I want to marry this girl, I want to marry this girl. Amrele lo ti boy rachmi hachi. Bad tefillah. Don't do it. Why? If you're supposed to marry her, you're going to marry her without the tefillahs. And if not, it's going to turn out really bad. You're going to hate her. Comes back to shul the next week, sees the guy davening again. Different tefillah this time. Either I should die or she should die. Didn't I tell you this was a bad idea? So the idea, the Gemara says, that there is a set woman for each man that can be found in the Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Right? First, what is this week's parsha? That they said, this is it. Again, when it came to Shimshon, right, also it says it's from Hashem, and last that you have a pasuk in Mishli, which indicates that as well. So what have we seen until now? So we have an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that in fact there is a concept of Bashert, that there is this idea that Hashem is Mizaveg Zivugim. Hashem goes and he makes the Shidduchim out there. However, there seems to be a possibility that it could change. Why? The fact that we allow you to get engaged, the fact that we allow you to lock in before someone else steps in, indicates that there is a way that you could lose your Bashert. And that way is through Rachamim, through Tefillah. That being said, the Gemara says afterwards, davening to marry a certain person is a bad idea, and it gives a very specific case which indicates that. The Rishonim have a discussion exactly what is the concern here, what could happen, what can't. Looking at Tosfos is not on this Gemara, it's in Sanhedrin. So Tosfos says, in general, all gezeiros can be changed by tefillah. If a person is given, if a person is supposed to pass away, if a person is sick, if someone davens, you can change everything. So he says, so for example, the Gemara says that at 40 days according to Tiras Avlad, there's an announcement. This is going to be a boy, this is going to be a girl. Can I daven and change that? So Tosfos says, yes, mikol makom, mo yel tefila b'toch mem yom l'hofo, o l'zachar o l'nekeva. You can daven, you can say, I know it's supposed to be a girl, but I really want a boy. Or you can say, I know it's a boy, I really want a girl. Kedamim b'brachos, mem yom kodim yitzir savat, adam esfal al ishto shetelet zachar, afilu zivag risham ishapik b'tefila. Then he throws in there and says, even when it comes to shiduchim, tefila changes everything. That just because there is someone that is predetermined that they're supposed to marry me, if someone else davens, they can change it. And in fact, I could lose my bashert. The Ritva seems to indicate that it's not just a matter of tefillah. The Ritva in our Gemara says, Shem Yikmarech Barachamim, so Barachamim I translated as tefillah. Ritva says, why does it only have to be tefillah? Pirsha zechus mevatel ha-gezeira v'kosher b'shas ha-molad. That there is a determination that I'm supposed to marry a certain woman. If I have certain zechuyos, if I do mitzvahs, whether it's tefillah, whether it's chesed, whether it's Talmud Torah, that could change. I could get myself a better shidduch. And the flip side should also be true as well. I was supposed to get a za'a finer shidduch. Like, no, I'm not deserving of it. So that could change. The Ran, in fact, our Gemara has a very interesting read. Going back to the story where there is this discussion where this fellow is told, please don't daven, because either way it's not going to work out. If you're supposed to marry her, it'll happen without the tefillahs. If you're not supposed to marry with her, you're not going to be happy. And in fact, the Gemara seems to indicate that the person davened, and then he's saying, one of us have got to go. Now, what's the implication of that? So the implication would seem to be that were his tefillahs moil, was he not supposed to marry her and he ended up marrying her? So Pashtus, yes. Now, of course, it was a bad idea to marry her, it seems. It wasn't a happy marriage, but the way we read the Gemara indicated that in fact tefillah can change, and this woman was supposed to marry someone else, but because this fellow davened, he grabbed the shidduch. But in hindsight, he probably should have never done that. It would have been much happier for everyone had she married to someone else. So that's the idea of kafar tabah, that because you weren't supposed to marry her, yes, the tefillahs work. Yes, you married her, but be careful for what you pray for because you just might get it. The Ran is a very different reading. So he says as follows: Ki had the Rav Ashami v'ilo kafar bach levesov. Pirush Rashi shetescharit la'achrizman imtisena. So Rashi, we read it. Rashi, what does it mean kafar tabah? You're going to be upset that you ever married her. It's not ba, her, but rather ba, that word should be read ba Hashem. You're going to be kofer b'Hashem. What's the reading of that way? He said, if she's supposed to come to you, either way. But if she's not supposed to come to you, kafarta b'Hashem. Why? The implication is that you're going to daven, you're going to daven, you're going to daven, and what's going to happen? Nothing. If you read the Gemara that way, right, the Gemara reads a little bit different. The Gemara says that, in fact, you'll daven, you won't get answered, and what are you going to say? You're going to deny your heart. I daven so hard, and I still don't get her. What's wrong with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And what's the end of the story then? He's saying that one of us should die. He said, I can't live in the world if she's not going to marry me. So either I have to die or she has to die, but the two of us in the world without us getting married, that's impossible. So if you read the world as kafarta b'Hashem instead of kafarta ba, the implication is even tefillah doesn't work. No matter what, if she's not your bashet, you can't marry her. She can only marry one person and that's that. Now that's very important here. So we have a machlokas. So the Gemara says that there is a concept of bashert, that there's someone out there that you're supposed to marry. However, what if you daven? So according to Rashi and Tosus and the Ritva, you could change it. It might not be a good idea, but there is a possibility of losing a bashert or gaining a bashert, depending on what side you're on here. According to the Ran, there is no possibility. What is, and you cannot change it. And if you try to change it, you're going to fail. The Sefer Chassidim has a third approach. We'll just put it out there. The Sefer Chassidim points out that's very interesting. So let's say a person marries a ger. So could your bashir be a goy? Right. In the event that I marry a gioris, or a woman marries a ger, so the implication was that before I was born, they said that, you know, my beshert is somebody who's not Jewish. Is that a possibility? That'd be interesting. Let's say someone marries someone who's not Jewish. That was, I know it's an intermarriage, but it was beshert. It's not such a good argument. Don't try it. So what about that? So the Sefer Chassidim has a very interesting approach. So he says, Afio Goya, even if she's not Jewish, she can be your Beshert. That's it. In the event that you are worthy, she's going to be Megayer, etc. If not, it's not going to turn out good for you. So the Sefer Chassidim is an interesting discussion, and ultimately he says as follows. He says, it's possible that you could daven and marry someone who's not your Beshert. But it's going to fail very quickly. How quickly? You won't be able to consummate the marriage. So that far it can't go. You could take it to the chuppah, but that's as far as it is. So kind of a split. That yes, you can technically marry, but it'll be a very short-lived marriage. That's the Sefer Chassidim's approach. Okay, so this is the Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara in Moed Katan indicates strongly that there is something called Bashert. And the Gemara also indicates the simple reading is that you could potentially lose the Beshert to somebody else. Which is why on Chol HaMoed, even though we wouldn't allow you to get married, we will allow you to get engaged. The second relevant Gemara is a better known Gemara. It's a Gemara in Sota. People don't know it from Sota. People know this bracha from Gemara from Sheva Brachas. Amar Rabbi Achana, Amar Yochanan, the Kashin Lezavgum Kekriyas Yamsuf. It is so difficult to make a Shidduch. It's as difficult as it is to split the Yam Suf. Shenemar Elokim Moshe V'Yechidim Beisa Motzi Asirim V'Koshros. So what says, Inni, is that really true? V'homer Rav Yehuda Amarav Abim Yom Kodim Yitziras Havlad. It says that 40 days before a child is born, Bas Kol Yotzis V'Omeres Bas Poni L'Poni, Beis Poni L'Poni, Son of Poni L'Poni. Wait a second, what do you tell me it's so hard to make a shidduch? If there's only one girl for each guy and only one guy for each girl, how hard could it be? Right? You've got a list, that's all what it is. So on one hand you tell me it's kasher kriyas yam suf, on the other hand, you tell me everything's preordained. So the Gemara says, hub zivag rishon, hub zivag sheni. What's the simple understanding? The simple understanding is as follows. You know something? I work in the Beis Din. We do a lot of divorce business. So, people get remarried. So who's your Beshert then? Was your first wife your Beshert or your second wife? Was your first husband your Beshert or your second husband? How does that work? So the answer is that the first one was your Beshert. Afterwards, the second marriage, well, that's already trickier. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Well, the Gemara says that it was everything's preordained. That's for the first couple. Then, if you're going to get rid, that's to build a second family, that's kasher k'kriyas yamzuf. That's the simple understanding. If you look closely, however, the concept of zivug rishon, zivug sheni, appears other times in the Gemara, and it's not so simple to say the way I explained it is what it really means. Looking at the other end, you have in a similar Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin says that divorce is not a good thing. So Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im sanosa shalach." Rabbi Yochanan, "Im sanui hamishaleach." You have a pasuk, and there's two ways of reading the pasuk. One pasuk says that a person who divorces his wife is sanui, is hated. The other one says, if a man has to, it's because she is hated. So the Gemara says, "Lo pligi ha zivug rishon ha bezivug sheni." Depends if you're getting divorced, it sounds like from the first marriage or the second marriage. A person divorces his bashert, even the mizbeach cries over it. Shenemar gives a proof text. Exactly. So therefore he said, that's the story. Zivig Rishon, it's terrible to get divorced. Zivig Sheni, you know, it wasn't bashert, it just didn't work. This Gemara is quoted again in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about the case of Avishag HaShunamis. So I'm sure all women know what the story is because they learn Navi, but for the guys, there's something called Navi. And and you might be familiar with this. It's a Haftorah. It's the beginning of Malachim. What's the story here? So David HaMelech has gotten older, and at this advanced age, he has a problem keeping warm. So what do? They bring, the doctors tell him if he has a young woman that will come lie next to him, that will warm him up. So they get this woman, Avishag HaShunamis, and she does the job. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Wouldn't it have been more appropriate had David HaMelech married Avishag HaShunamis? Wouldn't that have been, why were they were Matir Yichud? That David HaMelech be allowed to lie next to this woman, it would have been that doesn't sound very appropriate. Why didn't he just marry her? So the Gemara says, well, there's rules. And the rule is they only allowed to have up to 18 wives. So because David HaMelech had already maxed out, he had no choice. So the Gemara says, well, did he really need 18 of them? Was it, what? Perhaps he should have divorced one of the 18, gone down to 17 so he could marry her. That's what the Gemara wants to know. Unrelated to this is an interesting discussion here regarding Pilegesh, whether in fact he could have just taken her as a Pilegesh, or do Pilegeshes count or not, which is a big, an interesting discussion in the Rishon. So the Gemara says as follows. Let's look at the second paragraph. Says, so the Gemara says, no, we're not going to make them get divorced. Why? Because that's terrible. Right? Better we should be mata yichud than to cause a divorce. And so it says that the Mizbeach cries. The Ishto Yerushona, it's a terrible thing. Right? If she dies in your lifetime, how terrible. A divorce is terrible. And it says, Kosher Zavim Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Gemara finally says, Kam Vizivug Rishon, Kam Vizivug Sheni. We would allow it if it was a Zivug Sheni, but not because it's a Zivug Rishon. So there's an obvious question here. How many Basherts did David HaMelech have? Right? So the Ron says, come on here. You're going to call all 18 of them Zivug Rishon? Is that really a possibility? So the Ron offers, well, maybe for him they weren't, but for them. Maybe for all the 18 women, he was the Ziva Grishon. So Ron says, that's not so possible either. How many wives of David can we name? Anybody? Bathsheba, that's a pretty easy one. What? Bathsheba, was she previously married?
Yes.
Yes, she was married to?
Uriah.
Always the women, though. Men never know anything. So, what? What? Micha Bashor, that's correct. But also, come on, there's other ones that there's at least one other one you should get. What? Nama was the...
Abigail.
Abigail, there we go. And Abigail was... What do we know about Abigail? Zivig Rishon or Zivig Sheni? Zivig Sheni, because she was married to?
Novel,
very good. There we go. So looking at Bathsheba, looking at Abigail, right, we know that in both of these cases, it wasn't David's first wife, and it wasn't their first wife. Husband, thank you. Feeling a little progressive today. So the question is, how could the Gemara get up and say Kan b'zivug Rishon, Kan b'zivug Sheni, if therefore you can't divorce them, both of them, no matter how you slice it, if for David it was a zivug Sheni, and for the women it was a zivug Sheni. So if that's the case, what does Gemara say? Ah, he can't divorce them. We should be matir yichud with Avishag. Because Zivug Rishon, you never want to break it up. But no matter how you define Zivug Rishon, if you tell me Zivug Rishon means your Bashert, your first love, it doesn't make any sense. So that's what's asked by the Ran. So we're all called a Garish Ishto Rishon, a Kachi, a Girsa, a Iker, a Rishos, a Milsa, a Anfei Nafshe, a Avah, a Rav, a Dovin, Zal, Goris, a Omer, a Rav, a Lazar, the Yahav Tama Ramalo Itil Garish, why until and what the Amar of Elazar come a Garish Ishto Rishon of Afa Gav the Harbe Noshim Hoyla, even though David had many wives, so you can't tell me this is his first. Right? Below how you Rishon or slow? See, they were his Efshur Lefarsh to Rishon of Binisuel. Maybe it was their first. Koma Shehu are your Rishon Binisuel, Shelo Nise Sushum Adam, but Afa Gav the Avi Avigail of Ubat Sheva. Shalom Yerushon Oslo Shekvar Nisu Adam Kodam David Hayo Yachol Garshon Lesa Sheheino Yamin HaMelchubados. So he gives the following answer. He says, Inachinami, it's true that for at least those two it wasn't their first marriage, but David's not going to divorce Bathsheba. If you had to rank the top 18 wives, one would assume that she was in the top two or three, AP, UPI, BCS, according to the Cholodeus. Right? That wasn't Shaykh. In order to marry Avishag, you're going to go and, Avigail also. Right? These are the two that they got their own Perukim and Shmuel explaining how they got married. So that's what he offers. He says that maybe that's the answer. That maybe the other 16, it's their first marriage. And for these two, yeah, you could have divorced them based on the fact that it's not Ziva Grishon. But that being said, they were going to divorce them anyhow. So even though the Ran asks a very good question here, the answer really is, okay, we're not going to change what Ziva Grishon means, Ziva Kshemi means. Looking at Rashi and Sodi, he's very clear that that's what he thinks Ziva Grishon and Ziva Kshemi means. Rishon lefi hamazel. Zivug Sheni lefi ma'asov. So he makes a comment. He says the first one is lefi ma'asov. When you get married the first time, that's based on what was predetermined. But the second one, it's lefi ma'asov. By the time a person reaches their second marriage, so there's no predetermination. So since there's no predetermination, so what do I deserve in a wife? What does she deserve in a husband? To find someone that they'll give me what I deserve, and in return she's going to get what she deserves, that's not easy. This idea is expanded upon significantly by the Meiri. The Meiri takes a very different look, very different approach as to what Ziva Grishon is and Ziva Sheni is, and he puts it in perspective of the greater Jewish philosophical idea of Schar Va'onesh. The Meiri says that by and large, we as the Jewish people believe in reward and punishment. It's one of the Yud Gimel Yikarei Emunah, that in the long term, good people have good things happen to them, and in the long term, bad people have bad things happen to them. Why in the short term don't we see that? Why do we see Tzadik V'Ra'lo? Why do we see Rasha V'Tovlo? It's a good question. It's a good question with many volumes has been written on, much ink has been spilled. But by and large, everything, whether it's health, whether it's parnasa, whether it's family, everything a person gets what they deserve. So the question becomes, how does Bashert make any sense? Based on what did I get my Bashert? Was it something I did? No, this is 40. In the last X amount of years, I've done a lot of good and I did a lot of bad. However, 40 days before I was born or conceived, I really hadn't done much at that point. Right, so why did I deserve, why did my wife deserve? So based on that, Meiri totally rejects the concept of Bashert. It's impossible that there should be Bashert. How could it be? Rather, he offers the following answer, and this is very important. He says, Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni do not mean first marriage and second marriage. Zivug Rishon means if you get married younger. Zivug Sheni means if you get married older. What's younger and what's older? I'm not going to say it depends on the community. But he says as follows. There was a time, not that long ago, where basically people got married at their bar bas mitzvah. Right? Back in the shtetl, you can marry off a kid at the age of 12, the age of 14. At that age, there's nothing to talk about in terms of zachen. Right? There is not, at that age, what has the person done really to deserve a good or otherwise shidduch? So the Meiri says, Zivug Rishon is if you get married very young. If you get married very young, there has to be someone for you, but we can't say this is what you deserve, etc. So Kaba Zivug Rishon, when a person, when Abram Yom, Kodim Yitzira Savad, before a child is born, word comes down from on high and says, if they get married before they have time to earn something, this is who it will be. But if someone gets married at a much older age, like 16 or 18 or a little later, 20, there's something at that age, well, that, of course, that's already a Zivug Sheni, according to the Meiri. So therefore, at that point, Bashert's gone. Bashert expires by the age of 14 or so. So whatever it was that was predetermined, that's until you deserve it one way or the other. But once a person is already older, then it's out the window. Now that happens to work out very well with the Gemara in Moed Katan. Right? The Gemara in Moed Katan, which says, Shema Yekadmenu Acher, that could really mean Shema Yekadmenu Acher. There is a possibility out there that, yes, you do have a Bashert, but that's only if you're getting married at a younger age. If you're getting married at this advanced age of 18 or so already, then there is no more concern about that anymore, and therefore that is, in fact, the end of Bashert. Bashert came and Bashert went. And in fact, that makes sense. Right, the Meiri explains, when it comes to Parnasa, there isn't a baskol that says that this person is going to make this much money this year or going to have to work very hard. Yes, no. No, we don't believe in mazel. We don't believe in predetermination. We believe in Schar Va'onesh. And just like what's going to happen in this year is determined based on your actions, so too who you're going to marry is determined based on your actions. This idea of the Meiri and his explanation in Sota really is supported very strongly by the Rambam and his Tshuvas. So read this inside. If you look at number 13, the Rambam writes as follows: Rav Avadya Ger Tzedek, Sheira al kol bidei shemayim chutz meyira shemayim. The Gemara says that everything's from heaven except for Yerushalayim. Tshuva masha amata ata ki kol ma'is bnei adam einu begzer b'fnei ha'bari yisave hu ha'hu ha'emes she'ein bo dofi. Said it's true. Whatever happens to us in this world, it's because we deserve it. Based on that, we reward those who act properly, and the reverse. And whatever I do, when I say the Kol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Mi Yiras Shemayim is translated in the most broader ways. Every decision I make, whether to do right or wrong, is based on whether I have the fear of heaven. Nature is run by the world, by God, but I make decisions how I act. Etc. So that's what the Rambam says. What you're saying is absolutely true. That everything is bidei shamayim. Everything in nature runs by God. However, my decisions are my decisions, and what are the outcomes of those decisions, that falls squarely on me. So we'll skip now to the bull. V'zesha amari, rabcha, bas poni leponi. So he says, so if that's the case, how can you tell me that it's been predetermined who I'm going to marry? V'mama shal poni leponi, im gezera hasheva b'cholhi, zos v'adam kipushutam. How can you tell me this? Well, if that's the case, we know in Parsha Shoftim, before they went out to war, they said, Miha Isha Sher Banabayis, Miha Isha Sher Eras Isha. Anybody who just got engaged, you can go home from the war. Aye, wait a second. What do you mean, you can go home from the war? Why? Because if you get killed, someone else is going to marry her. Well, if someone else is going to marry her, someone else was supposed to marry her, right? What does that mean? If she's my Bashert, so, okay, I'm set. If not, not. She says, how does this all work out? So the Rambam says, those psukim are the proof against Bashert. The fact that the Torah tells to us, listen, you better go back, because who knows what's going to happen, you might lose her. That means the Torah itself told you it's possible. So the Rambam says this idea that you believe that there's Bashert in the world, and it's predetermined who you're going to marry, it's just not true. And even when it says that you're going to marry this woman, it's not random. When there's a bas kol, it says, based on your actions, that's what's going to be. Hashem says that in the event that this person grows up in a proper way, does Torah mitzvahs, and they deserve a good shidduch, they're going to get her. And in the event that she acts in a way that she deserves a good shidduch, she's going to get him. But it's not guaranteed. In the event that person doesn't live up to their potential, so they won't get the shidduch. Similarly, they'll say if the guy's a bad guy, you know who he's going to get? He's going to get her. And if she's not deserving, she's going to be stuck with him. It's not that there's one bashert. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, there are a lot of fish in the sea. And among these fish, there's some better fish, and then there's some not as good fish. Right? So again, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're deserving a good fish, that's your fish. If you deserve a bad fish, that's your fish. So the Rambam, again, like the Meiri, he goes even further in rejecting Bashert. The Rambam is of the opinion that Bashert is an initial offer. That in the event that you deserve this, this is what you're going to get. But if you don't deserve it, you'll marry someone else. This approach is also basically taken by the Tashbates in number 14. We won't read it inside, but you have the same general idea there, that really there is the concept of Bashert is not something that is guaranteed, not something that has to be, but rather Bashert is something that could be. Now, going back to our initial question about dating, So what have we said? Let's pause her a little bit. What we've said until now is as follows. What we have said until now is that the Gemara in Moed Katan has indicated that there is a concept of Bashert. However, according to most Rishonim, it could be changed. Right? There was only one opinion. The Ran was of the opinion that Bashert is Bashert, it can never be changed. The one that said, Kafarta Bahashem. Right? If you remember, the Ran said that don't daven for a shidduch, because if you daven for a shidduch, if it's yours, you'll get it anyhow, and if you won't, you're going to end up being upset at God, because you're not going to get it. And therefore, that person ends up davening, I can't live in this world anymore with her in it, if I can't have her. That is the opinion of the Ran. According to that, Bashert is Bashert, and there's no negotiations. According to that opinion of the Ran, really, you can marry one, each girl can marry one guy, each guy can marry one girl, and that's not negotiable. That is supported somewhat by the Sefer Chasidim, but the truth is that is not the standard approach. The standard approach is that, in fact, you could daven to get someone else's Bashert. Now, the person who davens and chops someone else's Bashert, they're not going to have a happy marriage. Right? You know, it would be appropriate to give them a gift certificate to the Beis Din as a wedding gift, because we will be seeing them eventually, according to this. But that being said, you can talk about it regarding the guy who wanted the shidduch of the woman, but there's another guy who's sitting on the sidelines without his Bashert now. Right? That is the second opinion. Right? That's the idea. Then you have the approach of the Meiri, that the concept of Bashert is limited to a very young marriage, before there is Schar Va'onesh. And then beyond that, you have the Rambam, which basically denies the whole concept. That yes, there is an initial offer. Yes, they know in Shemayim, if things work out, who you're going to marry. But there is no reason to believe that everybody marries their Bashert. There's no reason to believe that the majority of the people marry their Bashert. Now, with that in mind, the question comes up as, okay, practical advice. Here I am of marriageable age. Does this affect me one way or the other? Many people quote from the Gra that a person is supposed to minimize their time dating. If you look at number 15, it says that's written by Kosov Rabbeinu HaGra Zal She'ein Lehishtadl B'inyan Shiduchim. Don't work too hard. It's Bashert, it'll come to you. Amar Hagon Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. So the grub doesn't mean, you know, just sit there and wait for the father-in-law to pick you out of the base medrash. But rather it means you have to minimize the amount of work. He says, "Lemaisa mutar ha'adam l'hishtablus k'tzas k'dei l'hasig shidduch." Person has to do a shtablus. How much is not a lot? Well, we said that getting a shidduch is kasher kakriyas yamsuf. It also says that making a parnasa, making a living, is kasher kakriyas yamsuf. So he said it's the same. How much work does someone have to put into making a living? So you've got to try. You can't just buy a lottery ticket and say, okay, that should be good for a while. Right? We assume not that way, but a person has to put in a reasonable amount of work. A person should maybe get a degree, they should maybe apply for a job, they should maybe attend, go to the job, they should, you know, there's certain things that you should do in order to make a living. You should do what's normal. Right? A person shouldn't spend day and night, you know, wondering that, yeah, I really want to be an accountant, I really want to get into medical school, and that's, I want to be a doctor. But as a backup, I'm also going to have an accounting degree if that doesn't work. And also on the side, I'll learn little computers in case the accounting and the doctoring doesn't work. So there comes a point that, you know, it's a fish from the sugar, you think. Right? The person has to do basic ishtadlus. You go, you take a major where you can make, you know, it shouldn't be a classics major, it should be someplace you can make a parnasa. Right? You should go, you know, do what you have to do. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, that's what the gross saying is. You do what you have to do. You sign up for YU Connects. Right? You go and you go out on dates and you let people be known, but there's not a necessity. You don't have to make yourself crazy beyond crazy, right? You don't have to go out there and every single possibility to meet somebody. You have to realize that just like everything else, just like Parnassa, there's a Yad Hashem. Just like everything else, there's a Yad Hashem. So too, no, even if we say there is no Basharet out there, but we definitely believe that no less than anything else, there's a Yad Hashem. That everything's a combination. We have to have bitachon. We have to have trust in God that things will work out. But beyond bitachon, you also have to do hishtadlus. You have to try as well. In the event that some people will reject Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's approach because he's an Ashkenazi, the Yalkut Yosef, Rav Avadya Yosef, quotes it as well. He says, "Hinei noda masha kosef ha-grosh ein rishtadlo be'inyon ishiduchim. Sha'akom ito yisparach v'arbim yom kodin yitzira savad baskal yotzi yisformis bas poni poni." The Gross says, what are you wasting your time with this for? It's all been predetermined. He said, what are you supposed to do? Same way you treat your parnasa. A person should go and do what you have to do. You should daven. Etc. So that's the idea that a person is supposed to do is treat your seduchim the way you treat your panasa. A person should realize that a kol bidei shemaim, that yes, there is a baskel that comes arbim yom kodim yitiras havlad. There is a heavenly voice that comes down, and you know what? Every year also there's a heavenly voice that comes down in Rosh Hashanah and says how much money you're going to make. And despite the fact that it says how much money you're going to make, you still go to work in the morning. Right? Because you've got to do your hishtadlus. So despite the fact that it's predetermined who you're married, you have to do your hishtadlus as well. You have to do your hishtadlus in dating, you have to do your hishtadlus in trying to meet people, and that people should know who you are, etc. But ultimately, to remember, it's not the hishtadlus, it's not the, just like it's not the work that makes us the money at the end of the day, so too it's not the constant networking that's going to find the shidduch, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's going to find the shidduch. So therefore, beyond the hishtadlus, obviously a person should daven, people should daven for themselves, people should daven for their children, as is necessary, and hopefully, you know, like we have bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of, that with his food on the table, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take care that someone else should be sitting across the table as well.